appeared in 13 games for the Raptors, a 1-0 record with a save. 14 and a third innings pitch. He's allowed 14 hits, 4 runs, but 10 strikeouts for a 2.51 ERA. So Ferry, he's done well. He's pitched well when he's been in Michigan. You take it back to the 24th of June. In June 27th, he appeared against Battle Creek, where he went an inning and 2 strikeouts. In Traverse City, he also went an inning, but got the save late in that game. So right now on Banks Tolly, he'll set in as Tolly flies it away.
For the Raptors, number 28, Sidney Ferry.
0-1 is the count. So Banks Tolly, a big day for him. A base hit, a 3-run RBI triple, and he grounded out into a double play in the second as the 0-1 low. 4-ball, 1-1. A 1-1 count. Ferry could be probably the last pitcher for the Raptors today as a bouncer hit left side out of play. 1-2. A ball and 2 strikes. Banks Tolly out of Appalachian State from Madison, Mississippi. The 1-2 home from Ferry. Outside, 4-ball, 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes. And the count runs at 2 apiece. The 2-2 home as Tolly rips this ball. A high fly ball in the left field. And you betcha, it's gone. Banks Tolly, a solo shot to already add insult into injury for the Raptors. What's been a game for them, and you just have to say they just haven't gotten any runs home. And, well, Banks Tolly caps it off here. A solo shot into left field, into the bottom of the eighth here. So that's about that. Raptors have been out hit 10-9. So Banks Tolly, a career day for him, you have to say. 3-for-4, 2 runs and a 4 RBI day. He's been unbelievable. Ferry's going to have to regather himself, set in on Joey Winters. So the 1-0 home and a miss inside this time, 1-1. So Winters 0-for-3 with an RBI and a strikeout, but Banks Tolly absolutely ripped that ball in the left field. It's 306 to left and 315 to right, but 400 at dead center. 1-1 from Ferry goes low for a ball, 2-1. So 2 balls, a strike. And the 2-1, up out of the zone for a ball, 3-1. 3-1 is the strike count, is the pitch count. And Ferry once more turns his body, the 3-1, and skied in the air into right center. Johnson looks, clears the body out. So Luke Mitchell here, 0-for-3 with a strikeout. Here in the bottom of the order, the catcher. Had a 2 RBI day yesterday. He brought 2 runs in the bottom of the 6. From the University of Montevallo, from Lehigh Acres, Florida. And then Ferry delivers low of the zone for a ball, 1-0. But Banks Tolly, a solo shot here in the bottom of the 8th into left field. The 1-0. And once more popped into Gervich, who was running after it and catches it on the first base line. 2 down. That's back-to-back times for Mitchell, where he's popped out to the first baseman. Top of the order with Gavin Lewis Jr. 1-for-2 with a run and 2 walks as well. He's had a big day, and rightfully so. And Ferry throws in fourth strike, 0-1. Gavin Lewis Jr. today has seen five groundouts come his way on the defensive side, and he's gotten five assists because of it. And a miss low, 0-2. So after Ferry gives up a home run and has an opportunity to get three straight outs, and the 0-2 home, and this ball once more popped into right field. Lordoy comes after it, makes an easy grab for the third out. So a solo shot from Banks Tolley to add to a game where the Raptors just haven't gotten anybody home. They're down 7-1. Can they come back, or will they fall to Kalamazoo for the fourth time this season? Find out next as we head to the top of the ninth on WFHR.
You have been listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
If you have sustained an injury or have joint pain, you may need Wisconsin River Orthopedics. After a thorough examination, you may be prescribed therapy. Wisconsin River Orthopedics features their own in-house therapy center, staffed by experienced occupational and physical therapy professionals. If you need surgery for your ailment from one of their four surgeons, you may need therapy afterwards. Call 715-424-1881 or go to wroinstitute.com. 715-424-1881. Relieving pain and restoring lives.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Let's get back to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Carson fires. Top of the ninth inning we go, and a pitching change in for the Growlers. Carson Byers, who yesterday appeared in the ninth inning where he picked up a save, his second of the season. So he won an inning in the top of the ninth and got a strikeout. So Byers heading into his sophomore season. It's from Mattawan, Michigan, and a Miami Redhawk. He'll lead off against Broussard. And throws in a ball. To end that game yesterday, Byers made an unbelievable play. It was a ground ball towards him. He, like, turned around to see because he thought that was going to go behind him. Just put his glove into the ground facing towards home plate and it dropped right in his glove, and he turned and just tossed it on over to first. So he throws outside for a ball, 2-0. Raptors have only been out hit 10-9. As Byers throws the 2-0 up and outside for a ball, 3-0. Carson Byers has only appeared in four games with a 1-0 record, six innings of work. He's allowed four hits and a run, but six strikeouts. The 3-0 home right down the plate. Four strike, 3-1. Garrett Broussard today. He's 0 for 3. You'll see the 3-1, and it goes way low for ball four. So Broussard to first, and that starts things off here. Top of the ninth with a leadoff walk. Jack Gervich, who's had a good day for the Raptors, 2 for 3 with a run as well, the only Raptor to cross home plate. Three guys on this team for Wisconsin Rapids in the starting order have at least two hits. Bobo 2 for 4, Lordoy 2 for 4, and Gervich 2 for 3. And a wild pitch goes behind Mitchell, Roussard on his way to second, and that puts a runner in scoring position. So a 1-0 count here on Gurmitch. A 1-0 count. Broussard at second. And a 1-0 home outside of the strike zone. And the count runs at 2-0. Two balls, no strikes. At second is Broussard. The 2-0. And low the zone for a ball three. So three straight balls right now. And now an opportunity. Can Gurmitch get walked, put two runners on with no outs? Oh, find out. Byers way on the third base side of the rubber. He puts the ball in his glove. His body's facing towards first. He'll see the 3-0. And Gurmitch ducks for ball four. Gurmitch on his way to first. Broussard at second. Back-to-back walks, and this brings up Anthony Gallison. As Cody Pichocki talking with his pitcher right now, Carson Byers. Like, hey, just got to stay calm here, stay poised. Because right now, when you look at this, Raptors can start to, I mean, giving six runs is a lot. But if they can start to get, you know, runs in, started to put together a good inning. If they can, you know, get two to three runs before that first out or possibly with only one out, that'll put some pressure on for Kalamazoo because Byers, he's not facing any real pressure right now. They're up 7-1. They have a commanding lead. They've been in front of this entire game. Gurmitch at first and Broussard at second, each with a walk. And Gallison, he's been struck out. The runner's at first and second. Byers delivers in, and it goes up above the zone. Gallison sees it as a ball. Runner's at first and second. A 1-0 count. Byers low and inside for a ball. There is somebody warming up in the bullpen for Kalamazoo. If he throws a walk here, you wonder if he might get pulled. So the left-hander struggling right now. And the 2-0 home to Gallison. Outside for a ball, so 3-0. Three straight balls. He's thrown seven straight balls. Four on Gurmitch and three here on Bruce on Gallison. The 3-0 home and inside for ball four. Four straight balls once more and the bases are loaded. Raptors have an opportunity here to make this interesting. Chris Conniff, who's 0 for 2. With an RBI and a strikeout. 0 for 2, yes. 0 for 2 with an RBI. So Gallison at first. At second is Gurmitch, and at third is Broussard. Here we go. Carson Byers not able to find the strike zone, as he does right there. 0-1 in the count. They're going to need another RBI from Chris Conniff. He's up to 20 on the season, including one today. Byers looks in. He steps the 0-1. And way inside, Conniff has to turn his head. That was coming near his upper shoulder area. The base is loaded for the Raptors. First time they've had it this game. And count runs at one apiece. Byers low, Aimed for a ball, 2-1. A 2-1 count. Wisconsin Rapids, they need something. They need hits. And in this moment, can they find one? And the 2-1 to Conniff and a swing and a ball skied in the air into shallow right. Ibarra clears everybody out and gets the pop-up for one down. Alex Duffy, it's his turn. Batting in the ninth spot, 1-for-3 with 2 strikeouts. So Byers able to retire a batter. So one down. Our Rafters have been out hit only 10-9, but the difference has been in runs 7-1. And then the 1-0 to Duffy outside for a ball, and it's a fastball this time. 1-0 count. Our base is loaded. And the one right down the plate for a strike, 1-1. A 1-1 count for Alex Duffy. Rafters' only run in this game came in the top of the fifth. A sack fly RBI from Conniff to bring Gervich home. As Byers goes up above the zone, 2-1. Kalamazoo 2 away from going 10-3 in the second half. The Rafters would fall to 7-7. A 2-1, and it goes outside behind the glove of Mitchell. Broussard thought about going home, but he didn't. So one ball away brings a runner home, and it cuts this lead to 5. Three balls a strike. Byers looks in on Duffy. He'll come set the 3-1 home. Down low for ball 4. So Duffy will get to first. Broussard gets home. And the runners advance. Gallinson to second. Gervich to third. As Cody Pyshocki coming out calling to his bullpen. And Carson Byers' day is done. This game is now 7-2.
Next up.
If the Raptors can find a way to get another run home, it would put, pending if it's a hit or a walk, it would put the tie run at the plate. And given how this game is gone, that doesn't seem like a real possibility, but it is. So a new pitcher in for the Growlers. Carson Byers went 22 pitches. He allowed a run and threw 3 walks. But right now, this game is not over. Only one out. You can get a hit, string together a hit or two. You can put this right back in the ball game. Given how this game is gone, the Raptors have been down the entire game. But so I tell you, which a game that just hasn't gone their way on the offensive side. So the new pitcher in store for the Growlers, Nolan Milliman, the right-hander from Central Washington, heading into his junior season. He's from Yorba Linda, California. So Milliman has only appeared in 4 games. He's the returning Growler, has a 1-0 record, 7 innings of work. He's allowed 8 hits and 7 runs, but 8 strikeouts as well. He had 4 strikeouts back on July the 13th against Rockford. Picked up the win against Kenosha on July the 2nd. So Ty Johnson is here in the top of the order. The right-hander, Nolan Milliman, another Central Washington product, the second Central Washington pitcher in the bullpen today for the Growlers. Roberts in the first one. So Milliman looking to get the save and put this away, but can the Raptors make things interesting? Duffy at first. He was walked. Same with Gallison and also Gervich. All on base. All have been walked. Ty Johnson. A ground out to second. A base hit and a strikeout swinging. Here we go. Nolan Milliman. We'll look in. And right down the plate, this is a curveball this time. Gets ahead of the count, 0-1. Two away for the Growlers. The 0-1 count. Milliman, the delivery. Johnson fouls it off the top side of the bat into the netting. And now 0-2, so doing a good job of getting ahead in this pitch count. Can Johnson make something happen, though? No balls, two strikes, and one down. Coming set is Milliman. On Johnson, he'll kick high, the 0-2 home, and Johnson hits a high fly ball into left field, but coming after and making the grab is Stefan. The runner tags in Gervich. He'll get home in time. Gallison slides back to second. And now it's 7-3, so a sack fly RBI from Johnson. He hit that ball pretty well. But now one away. So Jorge Degatti, perhaps the final batter of the night, of the afternoon, I should say. 0-4. At first is Duffy, and second is Gallison. 7-3 lead for the Growlers. Milliman serves. And down the plate for a strike. 0-1. So an off day for Jorge Degatti. Prior to Orlando Lordoy arriving, he leads the team in batting average. Lordoy's only had about 8 at bat, though. So the 0-1 for Milliman. And down the plate for a strike and a curveball that paints the zone. So one more strike away puts this game to bed. And the Rafters will be swept by the Growlers for the second time this season. Milliman looks in. The right-hander kicks high. The 0-2 home and a check swing out and away for a ball. 1-2. So ball and two strikes, Duffy at first. At second is Gallison. A sack fly RBI brought Gervich home for the second time today. He was able to cross home plate. The Milliman looks over at second. And the 1-2 home on a swing and a ground ball over to Godbout at shortstop. Underhands it to Lewis at second, and that will do it. The Rafters fall to the Growlers, 7-3, in which a game that they could not bring any runs home. They were out hit 10-9. They had a decent amount of hits, but unfortunately for them, runs were a hard thing to come by. So Kalamazoo sweeps Wisconsin Rapids for the second time this season. They sweep the season series 4-0. So a tough outing for the Rafters here in Kalamazoo. They fall to 7-7 in the second half and 27-22 overall. The Growlers improved to 31-16 and 10-3 in the second half. So Wisconsin Rapids struggled on the pitching side as well. Guys had trouble throwing strikeouts and just getting guys where they needed to be. Kalen Graham, four strikeouts but three walks. Mekhi Negrini, three strikeouts but two walks. So they threw a little bit more strikeouts than walks, but five walks nonetheless. They had a 7.88 ERA this game. So it was a tough thing for the Rafters. So they're going to have to shake this off. But fortunate for them, they have an off day tomorrow, a much well-deserved off day, the first scheduled off day since June the 14th. So they're going to take back and head to Wisconsin Rapids tonight, and a well-rested day tomorrow as they'll take on the Madison Mallards on Tuesday. First pitch is at 6:05 back at home at Witterfield. Four of their next six games are in Wisconsin Rapids, so they'll be home for a bit. But a tough day and a tough outing to end their second trip in Michigan. So we wrap this up here at WFHR for everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For the players, coaches, and staff, we thank everybody. We thank also everybody at the studio at WFHR for allowing this all to happen. My name is Joey Fear saying so long from Kalamazoo. We'll see you on Tuesday back at Witterfield. Have a good rest of your day, everybody.
or speak to who is or isn't under investigation for what. I'm simply going to tell
you. So he's not under investigation?
I didn't say that either. By longstanding department policy and practice, I'm not going to be confirming or denying who is or isn't under investigation or for what.
Thank you.
Just again, juvenile. Aren't you exhausted? I am. It's why normal people stay away from this kind of day-to-day disinformation. It's why we don't traffic in it every day on this program. But every so often, like when half of a congressional committee tries to undercut the FBI director just to protect a corrupt politician on their team, we feel like we have to let you know what they're up to and hope that you don't get so tired of these games that you lose sight of whether Tom Tiffany and others like him should or should not be wasting your time and money with sideshows of the type we saw yesterday. I mean, the only reason I even thought to tune in was because Tiffany had a Twitter thread at 8 o'clock yesterday morning that was unhinged even by MAGA standards. It started with a doctored photo of Christopher Wray sitting on a throne with flames burning around him and a caption about how the FBI had become a Praetorian guard protecting wealthy elites over the American people, said the guy who supports trillions in tax breaks to the wealthy elites. And then what followed was more Orwellian doublespeak that makes it sound like law enforcement is picking on peaceful Americans who only want to air some grievances. Tiffany kind of left out the parts about intentionally spreading COVID misinformation, threatening school board members over COVID safeguards, killing doctors who provided abortion care, President Trump obstructing law enforcement over his stealing of classified documents with national security information, the aforementioned Russia collusion. And of course, Hunter Biden's laptop had to be included in this rambling ribbon of grievances. My guess is that the whole thread made more sense in its original Russian. As for Ron Johnson himself, he was on the Fox propaganda channel talking about Ukraine. Here's a clip about him explaining why he doesn't understand why Zelensky doesn't want to talk about peace anymore.
To your point, Senator, that's kind of what Griff sounded like at the end there, where he was talking about our president's going to sit down with Mr. Zelensky and they're going to have a straightforward conversation about the future. If you were the president at this point, given the fact that he revealed a couple of days ago, we've run out of bullets, the big bullets that we like to use. What would you say to Zelensky?
Well, you know, I was at the President Zelensky's inauguration. I think he was very sincere in his desire to have peace with Russia. This is after Russia had already invaded Crimea, eastern Ukraine. He wanted to do a peace deal with Putin. I don't know what happened in the intervening time period. You know, obviously Putin invaded, but we need to get President Zelensky, as difficult as this is going to be. Let's face it, there have been war crimes, I mean, atrocities, people slaughtered. Yeah. But unless we end this thing, more people are going to get slaughtered. There will be more atrocities.
So just
atrocities.
Give them
we've got to focus
country,
on ending
Senator?
The war.
Give them 20% of the country and just say okay?
Pardon?
Give them 20% of Ukraine and say, okay, you can keep it?
I'm not going to lay out the conditions. We have the Minsk agreement. Somehow we need to bring this war to an end.
Yep. You heard right. Fox is trying to end the war. Just give Putin 20% of Ukraine. That'll solve everything, right? I mean, Hitler was going to stop at 20% of Poland, right? And as for running low on ammunition, yeah, there's a war going on. When the 4th of July hot dog eating contest takes place, Nathan's runs low on its supply of wieners. But they're making more, and what we need is a united front against Russia, not these hackneyed peace proposals and an effort to defund law enforcement. This concludes Russian evaluation of news from the United States, specifically comrades Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson. Do svidaniya.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
When we were in Pittsburgh,
your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are. without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local. I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise clear skies. Lows level off around 51, winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 75. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night, lows level off around 51. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise clear skies. Lows level off around 51, winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 75. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night, lows level off around 51. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
It wouldn't be Friday, even in a short work week, if we didn't check in with our friend Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. For those of you relatively new to the show, Courier Newsroom is the parent company of Up North News and has 8 state-based outlets all around the state. And so Kia from California covers the goings-on, not just in Wisconsin, but Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Florida, Iowa, and Virginia. Kia, I don't know how you do it, but good morning.
Good morning. I do not do it all myself. That's how I do it.
I was going to say, it's all about the teamwork. You can do a lot of teamwork over Slack, and that's exactly what we do. So as you're covering the national stories and looking at them, you know, for all of us state newsrooms back home, certainly one of the big, centers of attention last week was the U.S. Supreme Court. It was the end of their term, putting out multiple different cases. So let's start with one that is a bit about LGBTQ, rights and or the right to discriminate. And apparently, allegedly, this case turns out to be based in part on something that didn't actually happen. And there was all this chatter like, oh, they should throw that decision out. And then other people saying it's not really enough to throw the case out. So do you mind giving a little bit of background on what this imaginary part of the Supreme Court case was?
Yeah, absolutely. So on late last week, the court ruled that a web designer based in Colorado could deny web, production services to same-sex couples. And this was based in a case that she filed, or, she was the main plaintiff in Colorado, where she said, she, because of her Christian belief, she did not feel comfortable creating designs containing a message with which she disagrees. And she said her faith required her to turn away customers seeking same-sex wedding-related services. But in her case, this lawsuit was filed in 2016. And, at that time, she had never designed any websites for weddings. But she claimed in court filings that she got contacted by a same-sex couple named Stuart and Mike, requesting those services. And that was, pretty much the basis of this case. But apparently no lawyer or judge or anyone ever contacted either Stuart or Mike until a reporter from the New Republic, which is a more progressive media outlet, recently reached out to Stuart. And it turns out he never made an inquiry. He is not gay. He has been married to a woman, and he does not live in Colorado and did not then. So pretty much it's a completely fake filing. It's unclear if, the woman made it up, her attorneys made it up. She's represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a very right-wing religious Christian group. And so it's a pretty bizarre situation. Especially because, it seems to be like this thing never existed, this request, and it opens the door for, potential discrimination against LGBTQ people in other states based on a fake filing.
It does, though the defenders of the ruling are pointing out that what they were bringing the case up for wasn't so much the individual Stuart in this case, but for the concept that at some point they would be committing a crime if they refused service, which, again, is that a technicality or what? It just made a lot of people angry that, due diligence wasn't done to find out if there was even a there before ruling on the concept of what is there.
Yeah, because when you're doing that can be applied to almost anything. A case, you're trying to preemptively basically avoid a law based on a scenario that's made up. Mm-hmm. So if you apply that to other aspects of life or the law or the world, what does anything mean anymore? If you can just make something up and get the Supreme Court to rule the way you want it to rule, then very few things are really safe if that's the metric we're using.
Then in another case from this past week that dealt with affirmative action programs at 2 different universities, the Supreme Court, again, in a very predictable ideological split, set that notion back a ways. And again, did so in a way that raised a lot of hackles. And I mean, I was one of them saying on Friday, apparently the Supreme Court said, hey, racism doesn't exist anymore. It's all solved at the institutional level, which is, I grant you, hyperbolic, but you understand the sentiment behind it.
I mean, it's not really hyperbolic when you look at their decisions over the last decade. You know, they gutted the Voting Rights Act pretty infamously because John Roberts argued that the case, the environment that justified it no longer exists, i.e., you know, we've solved racism, which clearly is we have not. By effectively banning affirmative action at these two schools, it effectively bans it nationwide. And affirmative action has been shown to help give Black, Latino, and Native American students a chance at getting into sort of elite public schools and private schools. We've seen at the University of Michigan and University of California, Berkeley, what happens when affirmative action is banned. Some states don't allow it, and their minority populations have plummeted of students because, you know, surprise, surprise, our educational systems in this country have historically advantaged white people, just like a lot of our other systems. And so, you know, without active efforts to kind of make it possible for Black, Latino, Native students to get in, they won't. And, you know, you could argue that, you know, affirmative action was flawed, that, you know, in an ideal world, we wouldn't need it. And that's true. But we also, you know, we have legacy admissions, which help rich white male primarily students get into places they have no business attending based on the merits. So, you know, it's just if we want it to really to be fully merit driven, then OK, but let's get rid of legacy admissions. Let's actually make it merit driven. Let's, you know, this country wants to be based on that, but isn't right now.
Exactly. And I think that's what really gets to some people is they're doing what they can to set back some people. Mm-hmm. But there are other folks who get to continue doing the questionable things that they're doing, whether we're talking about legacy admissions or if we're talking about the ethics of the justices themselves to be able to go so right wing against, you know, fellow Americans and yet not have anything brought to account for, you know, what they've accepted in terms of, you know, vacations and whatnot from mega donors who are, you know, mega millionaires, I should say, who may have business before the court. The whole thing just really erodes public confidence, as we see in a continuing string of Marquette polls about how fewer people believe in the legitimacy of this court.
No, it's a partisan political ideological court. And, you know, let's be honest here. For most of American history, it's been that way. It's really, and for most of American history, it's favored big business interests, wealthy interests. Certainly not Black people are minorities. You know, the court's history of rulings is pretty appalling with those regards until, you know, the 1950s. We went through a, you know, 4 or 5 decade period where the court actually sought to uphold the promise of America, and now that's being rolled back. And whether it's affirmative action, whether it's greenlighting discrimination against gay people, whether it's, you know, reinterpreting a law from 20 years ago to rob 40 million people of debt relief, of student debt relief, the court is doing what the Federalist Society wants it to do, which is, you know, this super right-wing judicial advocacy group that put all 6 of these judges on the bench because they support big business and they support, you know, far right social policy.
And that's what we're going to have for this court for some time to come, because, again, it's about presidential elections. And we don't elect Supreme Court justices. We elect presidents. And this is what we got. Well, I shouldn't. It's not just Trump. It's what Mitch McConnell did, you know, with the Senate as well. And it's something that we're just going to have to deal with. Let's turn now to the 2024 presidential campaign. Not a lot that went on this past week, except that I guess Florida Governor Ron DeSantis didn't have a great week. I will admit I saw a little bit of chatter that something didn't go well for him. I honestly didn't care enough to look into it because I knew I could talk to you. So would you fill in me and all the other? It's a classic case of I read this stuff so you don't have to. Kia, you had to read about Ron DeSantis's not so great week. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, many things happened. It's Ron DeSantis. He is running a campaign that is, you know, every week doing something that's, you know, costing him in the polls. But the main issue, one of the main issues from last week was the super PAC that's affiliated with his campaign, Never Back Down, technically independent from it, but they're supporting him, posted a video to Twitter that effectively compares Ron DeSantis to the serial killer from American Psycho in a positive light, let me say, and other, you know, deeply unwell figures, basically trying to paint DeSantis's anti-LGBTQ policies and anti-trans policies as a positive thing. And people need to watch this video because it's one of the most deranged things I've ever seen a campaign or a PAC celebrate, because it's effectively, you know, they compare him to Achilles in the story of Troy. Basically being like, our guy is the worst person you've ever met, and that's why he's great. And so they effectively are trying to make Trump seem soft on being terrible to trans people, saying DeSantis is more terrible, and that's, you know, a good thing. And he's gotten a lot of blowback for it because, you know, even if he didn't put it out, the PAC that supports him did. And, you know, this is just the latest in a lot of questionable decisions from that PAC, from his campaign. You know, they're targeting wokeness. They're targeting LGBTQ people. They have no plan for actually how to help people struggling living paycheck to paycheck. Miami is one of the most unaffordable cities in the country. Housing is a crisis everywhere in this country, and he has no plan on that, even in his own state, where he actually could contribute to the change. So it's just the latest in a really bizarre set of campaign decisions.
It really is. And again, your constituency, you continue to limit it. And now it's, at some point, it's just going to be, you know, the Moms for Liberty group, which I guess is still... Didn't they have a speaker just a day or two ago, again, speaking favorably about, you know, Hitler and other dictators who are just kind of misunderstood? A quick, can we give some free advice to anybody in politics? That's never the way to go, is to talk about world authoritarian leaders, dictators being misunderstood. Hasn't worked. Never going to work. Please stop trying it.
Yeah, and I will note that that comes, I don't know, a week after Moms for Liberty chapter, and I think it was Indiana, don't hold me to it, quoted Hitler on their flyer without context, in a way that very much conveyed it was a positive quote. It boggles the mind. I mean, just don't quote Hitler. That's like a pretty basic...
Just don't. Yes. If you get nothing, if you get up Friday mornings at 6:30 and learn nothing else from us, don't quote Hitler. It's just not that tough. Anyway, I'm sorry. We do try because there's good news to report as well. And I'm glad that you get to see some of this, you know, the potential, everything from the potential of electric vehicles in Arizona to the progress that's being made in Michigan with a Democratic legislature and governor. So I think I better end on that note that, you don't have a little black rain cloud above you, despite what some people joke, you know, about to you, that you get to cover the progress that's made in some of the states as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're seeing, I think it was last week, you know, the federal government announced massive investments to expand broadband all across the country. Arizona is really booming in the electric vehicle sector, in the microchip sector. Michigan, you know, its manufacturing and construction workforce are thriving. Unemployment rates are, you know, plunging all across the country steadily over the last year, 2 years. Things are going well. You know, there's every week a new story about how the Inflation Reduction Act is driving domestic investments in manufacturing and construction and solar energy, and taking away business from Europe. And if you want America to transition to clean energy, to fight climate change, to be economically successful in the 21st century, those are good things. We have a lot of problems in this country, certainly. But, you know, there's also a lot of progress being made.
Exactly. Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Thank you for the time, as always. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You're up north.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosures.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett's septic pumper trucks come rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call. 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
It was 1 week ago that we said the number one album this day in 1984 was Sports by Huey Lewis and the News. The number one song a week later in 1984 was by Prince, When Doves Cry. It was Prince's very first chart topper, the song being from an upcoming movie, little ditty by the name of Purple Rain. Things would only get more interesting for Prince from that moment on. On this day in 1456, Joan of Arc was given a retrial, and she was acquitted of heresy. Only problem is the retrial and the acquittal came 25 years after she was burned at the stake. So,
a little late there, buddy.
You know, that we talk about the wheels of justice, the criminal justice system. It isn't just Merrick Garland. It dates way, way back. When we talk about something being, you know, as good as sliced bread or something like that, yeah, there's a date for that. Sliced bread was sold for the first time on July 7th, 1928, by the Chillicothe Baking Company in Missouri. So, sliced bread.
You know what's older than sliced bread? Cheez-Its.
Really?
Cheez-Its were first sold in 1921.
Oh, so Cheez-Its are 102 years old, and sliced bread is only 95 years old. Got that going for us. On this day in 1940, a Beatle was born. Happy birthday to Richard Starkey. We know him better as Ringo Starr. And he is 83 years old today. On this day in 1969, John Lennon releases Give Peace a Chance, a song that he and Yoko and a chorus of guests recorded at their bed-in in a Montreal hotel room. It was on this day in 1958 that President Eisenhower signed the Alaska Statehood Act into law, getting set to give the U.S. 49 states and 49 stars on the flag. And I know there's a 49-star design. It sure wasn't around very long because Hawaii was quick on its heels. This New York-born but California-raised singer turns 60, and when I tell you it's Vonda Shepherd and you hear this song, you're going to think of a TV show. Yes, it's Ally McBeal. Vonda Shepherd was a relative unknown, but was not only the singer behind the theme song to Ally McBeal, but was also the bar singer in many of the episodes. And then she went on to have a nice little career herself in the 90s. She also had a great duet with Dan Hill called Can't We Try? Comedian Jim Gaffigan is 57 years old today. It was on this day in 1981 that President Reagan nominated Sandra Day O'Connor to become the first woman to serve on the United States Supreme Court. On this day in 1985, Boris Becker became the youngest male player ever to win Wimbledon at the age of just 17. The number one hit from this day in 1973 was by Billy Preston. On this day in 2009, after a private ceremony at Forest Lawn Cemetery, Michael Jackson's public funeral was held at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And there's your music break. There's your history lesson for this July 7th of 2023. A couple of days now past the wedding anniversary for myself and for Sherry, we finally went out to dinner last night to one of our very favorite restaurants, Mona Lisa's on Water Street in Eau Claire. And we had to laugh, but we've been going there for so long that we did have our waiter take our picture sitting at the table because we, for the longest time, except now I can't find it, we had one of the pictures that was on our wall was from our 10th wedding anniversary, which was also at Mona Lisa's, also on the back patio there. And I was looking around last night to find it so I could put up, you know, a little, you know, before and after. And I don't know where it went in moving everything around. And maybe it would have just been depressing to see what I looked like 27 years ago compared to now. But regardless, we laughed as well because we have been getting, you have a favorite. And I'm sure a lot of you are like this. So you have a certain restaurant where you just have a favorite and you don't wander off. You know, maybe you did in the beginning, but once you find what you like, you like. I mean, when Sherry goes to Cancun restaurant here in Chippewa Falls, you know, it's the Dom burrito with steak every time, you know, nothing else. And we've been doing that because once in a great while, it's almost like superstition when you wander off and you go, oh, that sounds interesting. Let me try that. And of course, it either, you know, just doesn't live up to expectations, or you find out that you're missing the thing that you like most. And for us, that also includes our respective entrees. Mine's a pasta puttanesca with Italian sausage, but there's also an appetizer, which is nothing but a small truckload of roasted garlic that is, you know, like in a little ramekin. You know, they pop the bulbs out of the clove, but when it's roasted just right, of course, it's spreadable. And then they serve it with this tomato chutney and a cambazola cheese. And you put that on, you know, these crackers or flatbread that they give you. And I mention all this simply to say, again, about the passage of time. What garlic does to somebody when they've been married 10 years versus when they've been married for 37. I'm a little sleep deprived right now because of what the impact of certain foods have now. I mean, I almost never get, you know, a tomato-based sauce because I really should buy stock in Pepsid, it seems, with some of the dishes that you get out there. And garlic was kind of the same way. And we both remember, speaking of Jim Gaffigan, whose birthday it is today, whenever he talks about a Hot Pocket, Aaron, have you ever heard Jim Gaffigan's routine on Hot Pockets?
I don't think I have. I've heard some of his stuff, but not that.
It's so good. And at one point, he the shame that you feel afterwards, where he's like, did I eat it or did I wear it? And, you know, the next morning after you eat that much garlic, you can run your finger along your cheek and it feels like you can just spread the garlic right off coming out of your pores, you know? And we laugh about it, but I'm going to tell you, we loved it last night and we're going to order it again the next time we go there. And just bear in mind, maybe we should take the Pepcid before we go to the restaurant instead of afterwards. Because again, when you got something you like, it doesn't even matter if it's out there.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.